past the hour at 3 o'clock. It is a Friday edition of the Gym Class coming away here on KGYM. Coming up on the show, we will preview the Iowa football spring scrimmage coming up tonight. We'll do that with Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com. We'll get his thoughts about what went on during the spring, what he's looking forward to seeing tonight down at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. That will get started tonight at 7:06. In Iowa City. Also coming up in the show, we'll take a look back at the schedule release for the National Football League last night, and quite a day as far as entertainment history is concerned. We will talk about that as well. All coming up on the Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. And from our studios in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, Gym Class coming away right here on KGYM for a Friday. Scott Udash alongside Mark Dukes. Thank you very much for joining us here today. We'll take you through the 3 o'clock hour, and then we'll hand things off to the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City for the KGYM road trip that is driven by Linder Tire. Todd and Alex down there for the Todd Brimelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. They will have a impromptu, if you will, Hawkeye pregame coming up for tonight. They'll talk a lot of Hawkeyes coming up this evening as the Iowa spring scrimmage will get underway at just past 7 o'clock. Big Ten Network will have coverage. They'll have it on the Big Ten to go for the entire length of the scrimmage, and then at 8:30 they will have a, I'm not sure how they're going to do it, if they're going to condense it. They'll take the highlights, if they're just going to talk about it. Who knows? But it will be tonight at 8:30. And that's the subject of our Emil's Hideaway poll question as well. That's at KGYMradio.com that we will get to coming up here in just a little bit. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon. Rob Howe of Hawkeye Nation going to be joining us talking about that particular game and some of the issues that have come up positive and negatively in the Iowa football camp this spring. We've got the results in from the Valero Texas Open, and we've got Colonels baseball tonight against Kane County, 6:35 first pitch, and the Iowa Hawkeyes try to take another series in the Big Ten baseball race facing Rutgers at 6:05. Plenty going on, and we've got programming tonight on KGYM.
Yes, we do. We have plenty of programming for you. The Twins and the Tigers tonight from Target Field, 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM. NBA tonight coming up, and that will be at 7:30 tonight. They have adjusted the schedule a little bit. It will actually be at 7:30 on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM, Game 3 between the Houston Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. I believe it's 2-0 Houston in that one. And that will come up at 7:30 tonight. So, got basketball, we got baseball coming your way here this evening. Couple things to get to. First of all, as you mentioned, Zach Johnson in the second round of the Valero Texas Open going on right now. And give us a little update on how things are going.
Zach went off early this morning, tried to right the ship after a 2-over par 74 in the first round. Not much better today. In fact, no better. Another 74 for Zach. He will miss his fourth cut of the season and second in a row, coupled with the Masters. This is a tournament that Zach has won twice, although not necessarily on this course. Kind of a mixed bag for Zach this year. He's got four top 15 finishes and four missed cuts. And just by trying to follow along on PGAtour.com, his greens and regulation are not up to Zach's standards, and his putting hasn't necessarily been there either. But as you know, Scott, the great thing about great golfers is they have an ability, like, unlike you and me, to put a bad hole, a bad round, a bad tournament in their rearview mirror very quickly. And I would suspect Zach will try to do that as well, as he will not play the weekend in Texas.
No. So he'll try to get back going here, and that will be in his next tournament out there. Everyone's kind of getting ready for the Players' Championship, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. That's the next biggie, and then Memorial, and then the U.S. Open
mm-hmm.
coming up around the corners. Golf season well underway. We talked about that on Caddy Smack as well. Des Moines today, the trial continues at Polk County Courthouse. They're in a recess right now. Gary Barta did take the stand today, and some interesting stuff coming out today.
Interesting that Barta has been on the stand for 75 minutes before that break. And here's some of the quotes that via Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register on Twitter. Barta quoted as saying, "It was sort of a my way or the highway," quote unquote, "mentality that Jane Meyer had. Coaches," quote, "felt like they were talked down to by Jane." Lystico again. Gary Barta also noted that there was an ongoing conflict between Jane Meyer and Fred Mims, quote unquote, "for quite a few years." Lystico goes on quoting Barta, saying that he told Meyer she wouldn't be considered for a new deputy AD position. He testified, quote, "our working relationship changed forever." And Barta described himself as angry that Griesbaum, Tracy Griesbaum, the former field hockey coach, and the Myers relationship was being made in the public before he was told of it. Finally, Barta said, quote, "I couldn't run the athletic department because of her behavior. I had to do something. I could have chosen to fire her. I didn't."
Had her reassigned. Yeah, interesting things coming out today that he did not know of the relationship until 2014. And if he would have known about that, he would not have had Jane Meyer. His words, Gary Barta's words, would not have had Jane Meyer work with the field hockey program, doing anything with the field hockey program, from facilities to just everyday ins and outs of running the program. And so that's kind of in a nutshell what went on today.
Yeah, Jane Meyer on the stand earlier today, and again following Chad Lystico's coverage on Twitter, she testified that she wasn't sure if Tom Brands had won an Olympic gold medal. She also said that Brands was upset with her after she didn't approve of putting images of NCAA champions in the hallway.
Well, yeah, this thing's going to play out even more. A very good column from Mike Halas today, who's been in Des Moines most of the week. We're going to talk to Mike on Monday, by the way. Looking forward to that and getting more thoughts from his perspective, covering it and writing a column. He was doing double duty this week for the paper. As you know, and as you and Mike have explained, being a columnist is different than being a reporter. But he had to do both in this situation. So we'll talk to Mike more about that coming up on Monday. If you'd like to comment, 319-366-1600, the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Again, that is 319-366-1600. Thank you to Jerry and everybody there for helping us out with that. Told you about Zach, told you about what's happening in Des Moines today. The Iowa baseball team, by the way, is going to play tonight. 6 o'clock at Duane Banks Field against Rutgers. So you can do a triple. You can go down to Coach's Corner, get a bite to eat, maybe have a drink during happy hour, say hi to Todd and Alex. By the way, KGYM golf balls to be some of the prizes today.
We've got a sleeve each.
Yes, we do. Yeah. They look nice.
Monogrammed, yes.
They're good, KGYM golf balls. Chance to stop by, get a ticket, see if you can win some prizes down at Coach's Corner. Maybe take in the Iowa baseball game for a little bit. Go over to the Iowa football scrimmage tonight. I was surprised. Todd and I were both surprised they didn't move up the start time of the Iowa baseball game today.
Yeah, yeah. In addition to the weather right now, which is a little chilly, and that would have given a 4 o'clock start would have given folks an opportunity to do to double dip there, but not the case. Spring game tonight, of course, 7:07. It gets underway. That's the subject of our poll question today, KGYMradio.com. Will the Iowa spring football game / scrimmage at night become a tradition? Yes or no? Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot.
Go ahead and vote on that. We mentioned here at 3:13, we're going to talk to Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com. We'll do that here in a little bit. This is a red letter entertainment day, Mark. Red letter. And a couple of these, well, one having to do with our industry, another one having to do with the world of sports. Let's start with that first, since we are a sports show.
You were forced to watch the NFL schedule party?
No, but we are going to get to the NFL schedule.
All right.
We are going to get to... I stomached it for about 5 minutes, and as soon as they brought primetime on, and really he had nothing to say except shouting about something, and I really don't know. As soon as they came out and announced Chiefs-Patriots right away, said, okay, I knew that. And he said, all the other schedules are out if you want to check them out. And then they started scrolling them slowly by slowly on the bottom. And then, yeah, I kind of lost interest in that. But we'll get to that coming up. But today, what happened on this particular date 28 years ago in the movies, Mark Dukes? 1989, what was released today?
Was it Hoosiers?
Close. Very close.
Hoosiers might have been before that.
Yes. Think another state's Hoosiers, if you will. Near and dear to our hearts.
Field
of Dreams was released on this day back in 1989. How about that?
Wow.
Huh? 3 years prior to that, well, let's go with this one first. 7 years prior to that, one of the great underrated shows of all time that has a history in this building, but I'm not going to let you know about that. If you want to know about that, contact our owner. The final episode of WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh, yes.
In 1982, after four hilarious seasons.
Favorite character?
Oh. Les Nessman.
Les Nessman, for sure. Lonnie Anderson was okay, but Nessman.
I was a Bailey Quarters guy. I was a, Bailey Quarters. I thought much better than Lonnie Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
But Lonnie Anderson was the show back then. That was when she was dating Burt Reynolds,
I believe so, yeah.
Right in that area. But the biggie, I still remember this night in college in 1986, sitting down.
On this date?
On this date and watching this show.
You passed your first test?
perhaps. I don't know. Soon as people hear this, they're going to go, oh, that's right.
April 1986.
April 21st, 1986. He was a news guy at that time, and this kind of took him away. It didn't take him away from the news, but he lost a lot of mojo because of... This was a big swing, and it was a miss. In 1986, on this date, April the 21st, in Chicago, Illinois, on live television. I believe it was syndicated, but it wasn't on ABC, NBC, or CBS, or public television. It was a syndicated show. Do you remember the mystery of Al Capone's vault?
Geraldo Rivera,
on this night in 1986, broke into the vault.
And there's nothing
and
there.
And there was nothing there. Sorry, spoiler alert. There was nothing there. But it captivated America. Just think if we had Twitter back then, or social networking. Oh, that would have been a fun night. We did not. And he still got roasted for it. But he took a big swing, and it was a called third strike right down the middle, because I remember the sledgehammers, and he's turning around. Here we go. We're right here. We're ready. Boom. Nothing.
Yeah.
Big, empty room.
Had good ratings, though.
Yes, it did. Yeah. It got incredible ratings. All right. There you go. Stepping back into broadcasting and entertainment history today. I hope we're not swinging and missing today.
Field of Dreams did pretty good at the box office, didn't it?
Not bad. Not bad.
Is Hoosier still your number one or sports movie? We're going down a road here that we might want to travel right now, but
Hoosiers, yeah. I've got a lot of them. I'd have to kind of sit down. We did this as a Friday topic.
Yeah.
Once. Maybe we'll have to revisit it again because it's been a few years. Mm-hmm. And our Friday topics are going to get underway again in May. We're going to kick those off again through the summer. But yeah, we had a quorum. You know, Hoosiers is right up there. Tin Cup has got to be.
Tin Cup, yes.
It's got to be right up there for us.
Final season, really not up near the top 10.
I'd say that softly.
Well, it was nobody's fault. I loved it.
It wasn't a bad movie.
I loved
movie.
It.
That was a good movie. That was a good movie. Yeah. We'll do that. We'll come back to that. We'll come back to that maybe.
Hoosiers is special, though.
Hoosiers is very, very good. Very, very good. All right, 20 past the hour at 3, and we're going to take a break. Come back. Rob Howe is going to join us from HawkeyeNation.com, and we will talk about tonight's Iowa football scrimmage / game going on at Kinnick Stadium at just past 7 o'clock. So stay tuned. More to come after this. Gym class coming your way for a Friday right here on KGYM.
Fixing your pavement can be more affordable than you think. Spring into action and stop dodging those cracks and potholes. Call Paint Asphalt. They can handle commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Paint Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Paint Asphalt. See them at paintasphalt.com.
What kind of job would make you happier? One that pays more? One that makes you feel appreciated? One that offers the kind of benefits that world-class companies can offer? Red Star Yeast in Cedar Rapids has all that and a lot more, like company picnics and nights out at the ballpark. You get the benefits of a big company and the family feel at Red Star Yeast. What that means is you're appreciated and you're heard. Red Star Yeast is looking for electrical and mechanical maintenance technicians right now. To learn more about joining the Red Star Yeast family in Cedar Rapids, visit the careers page at redstaryeast.com.
AutoZone is proud to introduce new Duralast GT brake pads. They're race-ready, just like ones used by Team Penske. So you might be wondering, what is race-ready? Well, if you guessed, incredible stopping power and pro-grade performance with carbon fiber technology and V-slot design that reduces wear and increases stopping so that when you drive fast, you can stop even faster, you wouldn't be wrong, technically. New Duralast GT brake pads, proven tough from the tracks to the streets, and only at AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone!
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the gym class on KGYM.
We are back, 22 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. If you'd like to chime in on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line where you were, if you were watching Al Capone's vault being broken into, let us know. I think there's a lot of people out there, the younger listeners, that have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, Geraldo, 417 area code. No, I'm just
Geraldo on line 3. He'd like to talk to you. I'd still ask him, what were you thinking, man? What were you thinking? It was a big swing and a miss, though, on that one. Tonight in Iowa City, it is the Iowa Spring Scrimmage, and that will get underway just past 7 o'clock. And to join us and talk about that from HawkeyeNation.com is our friend Rob Howe here on a Friday afternoon edition of the Gym Class. Rob, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm good. Do you remember Geraldo Rivera breaking into Al Capone's vault?
Vaguely. Was he also involved with the King Tut thing, or was that somebody different? Or maybe I'm mixing it up.
I would have to double check on that.
Okay. Yeah, I vaguely remember that, but what year was that?
1986. On this day.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't paying a lot of attention to TV back at that point in my life, I don't think.
I was probably spending too much time watching TV and not enough time studying at that point right there.
Rob, we had a poll question earlier this week. I don't remember all the entries, but a lot went down in terms of kind of newsy items earlier this week when the coordinators and Kirk Ferentz met the media, everything from Drew Cook moving to tight end to a still tight quarterback race and Nick Easley's emergence at wide receiver. What among those or something else do you think is biggest news out of the Iowa camp?
Yeah, I think, I guess if you were to I guess, rewind to maybe the end of last season, I think most people would be surprised if you would have told them at this point on April 21st that there would be a quarterback competition and it would be tight. I think a lot of people on the outside connected the dots, and I did too. I'll be honest with you. I thought that Stanley would have this job and maybe Wiggers would push him just based on Stanley winning the backup job as a true freshman last year. But I guess when you think about it a little bit deeper and look at it a little bit closer, there is a new offensive coordinator, there's a new quarterback coach, and maybe it shouldn't be that big of a surprise. Maybe, you know, we should have seen this as a possibility, and I don't think a lot of people have. So the fact that they said that that's probably going to go into August and they'll make a decision closer to the season, I think that's probably going to be the thing that people focus on pretty much most of the offseason, is who's going to be the quarterback, who's going to take the role of what C.J. Beathard did the last 2 years.
Interestingly enough, if it's not Nathan Stanley, what's going to be the outcry by Hawkeye fans for playing him last year? Or is it going to matter?
That's a loaded question, Scott. The outcry is the similar outcry. I think with fans, a lot of fans don't see the value in playing a guy or taking a red shirt off a guy unless he's, you know, he's going to play a significant role during that year, his true freshman year, or the following year. But it's not always the case. Sometimes it takes a couple of years for that to kick in. And, you know, at this point last year, or I guess at this point last year, Stanley wasn't here, but during the fall, they felt like Stanley gave them the best chance to win should C.J. Beathard go down. For whatever reason, what they've seen this spring, they're not so sure that he gives them the best chance to win right now. Wiggers is putting himself into that mix. But there will be people complaining that, you know, why didn't we redshirt him last year if he wasn't going to play this year? And I guess there's some validity to that gripe, but it's more fluid, I think, than people think and people realize. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. Things change over time. Guys get better. Ricky Stanzi was behind Arvell Nelson and Jake Christensen. You know, and then he emerges and passes both. Well, Arvell Nelson put himself out of the race, but, you know, Stanley was able to overcome Christensen. You just never know how people are going to develop and how they're growing the program.
Rob, what do you envision when you hear Akram Wadley is going to be used, quote unquote, in space, not only for him, but for other running backs?
For him, I think it's kind of what we saw towards the end of last season, Mark, where, you know, they got him the ball, you know, by whatever means necessary, throwing it to him, doing some things in terms of a stretch plays, whatever they could to get him, you know, where he's one-on-one or has a chance to make people miss on that second level. That's I think what they're talking about doing. And if you look at the offense right now, with question marks at receiver and tight end, he's by far your biggest weapon. So you want to get the ball in his hands where he can make plays, and he makes plays in space. He showed that against Michigan, against a group of guys that will be playing in the NFL. So to me, the more interesting thing with Akram, and I asked Kirk this out of the gate, and I've asked Brian this as the running backs coach, is how much of a load can this kid carry at 190 pounds, 195 pounds? And it'll be interesting to see how they utilize him. You know, can they play him 30 to 35 to 40 snaps a game and get the ball in his hands that many times? It remains to be seen, and a lot probably will depend on what happens with Toks and Torin as well behind him. How much of the load can they carry? Because I think it's tough to play three guys. Two guys you could probably play, but maybe they will play three guys, and maybe they'll do some different things with Akram where he's not just lining up in the backfield. Maybe he's in the slot a little bit. Maybe they line him up wide. I think with a guy like that, you open the playbook and try to get him the ball any way you can.
The receivers, Rob, the star of the show so far has been Nick Easley. And people will get their first chance to take a look at Mr. Easley coming up tomorrow. As the wide receiver core right now beat up, Vandenberg's not going to be out there, obviously, and others. But Nick Easley has been the guy that people have been raving about.
Yeah, it's, you know, when Kirk first said it, the first press conference of the spring where he came out and said, you know, and he singled Nick out without, you know, unsolicited, that kind of, those of us, and you guys know this, that have been covering Kirk, he doesn't do that a lot. He's not going to throw praise around, particularly with guys that are a little bit younger. He's more apt to do that if it's an older guy. But this guy hadn't even stepped on the field yet for them, and he was talking about how good his off-season conditioning was. And then Kelton Copeland came in, the new receivers coach. He talked the guy up. And then Brian Ferentz basically said, he did say the other day that Nick is their best receiver day in and day out, and he has been this whole spring. And again, there are guys out. Vandenberg's out. Germanic Smith is dealing with academic issues. But for a kid to come in out of junior college just this January, step into the program and be able to do that, it definitely has to get your attention. I'm interested to see what he can do tonight. He looked pretty good in West Des Moines. But with the quarterback situation unsettled, you're going to need some guys that are going to be able to be reliable receivers, and he seems like he can be that guy.
Rob Howe of Hawkeye Nation joining us on the Gym Class at the bottom of the hour here on 107.5, 106.3 FM and 1600 AM. Rob, how concerned should folks be about the back half of the Iowa secondary with Brandon Snyder being out for the year?
I think it's significant, Mark. That's in Iowa's defensive scheme. The free safety is just, there's a lot on his plate.
He was really good in run support last year, I thought.
Yeah, I thought he got better as the year went on, and by the end of the year, he was playing his best football. And it takes time. I mean, we saw it with Tanner Miller, had some bumps in the road. Brett Greenwood had rough bumps in the road early on. But once those guys settle in and you become upperclassmen, that's when they play their best football. And it looked like Brandon was heading into that way. Now you're going to have to put somebody in there who has no experience calling the defense, getting guys lined up correctly, and you don't have experienced cornerbacks in there either. Miles Taylor is your only experienced guy in the secondary. That's a concern. That whole group has to grow up pretty quick, Mark, and I'll be interested to see how that position, Jake Gervais, it sounds like Jake Gervais and Imani Hooker right now are the two guys that are vying for that spot. And then you've got five or six defensive backs coming in the true freshman class. That's really a position they have to settle. It's a crucial position on the defense, and it may be as important as any that they're trying to decide on at this point in time.
Well, even in front of those guys at the corner positions, number 14's not out there. He might be out there, but it's going to be a different number 14 tomorrow. It's not going to be Desmond King patrolling one of the sides.
No, it's going to be weird without, you cover college football and you get used to it, but it takes a little while to realize that he's not out there. But I'm sure the coaches realize he's not out there. I guess the good news is, Scott, that, Emmanuel Rugumba showed well in the Michigan game. He played well when he was thrown in there last year. So you got to hope that he kind of picks up where he left off. Josh Jackson has had a really good spring by all accounts. And Michael Ojemudia, all those guys have some experience in the system. They've played nickel dime packages here and there. They've been on the field. You got to hope out of that threesome that you get two solid ones and maybe a third one that can get in there, on special packages. That free safety spot concerns me a little bit more, but you're right, Scott. The unknown at cornerback when you lose an All-American is always something to keep an eye on.
I know the Iowa Hawkeyes want to put a good face on things tonight, but especially so for those commits, potential recruits that are going to be here. Rob, you've detailed who those players and individuals are that are going to be there tonight. And there's a Texas A&M offensive lineman coming in as well, right?
Yes, Al Elbert's his name. He is supposedly, from what I hear, is a walk-on candidate. They don't have a scholarship for him, but he could potentially join the team, at semester and going into the summer, and then be available, going forward from that. But we'll have to see how that shakes out. I don't know with him what other type. He's really kept his recruitment close to the vest. I don't know what other options he has in terms of scholarships. If it's a situation where he could walk on and it's okay, you know, financially it would work for him. I'm interested in catching up with him, at some point this weekend, and just to kind of see what his status is. But there's a decent group of recruits in this weekend that'll be coming in tonight. Some kids that have offers, some kids in this 18 class that they've targeted. So this will be a good environment for them on a Friday night in April, and they get a chance to see these guys compete. I guess it'll be more than just a glorified scrimmage. They're going to play the four quarters, 15 minutes running clock. So there'll be some, organization to it where it actually looks more like a game.
Among the proposed rule changes, Rob, is an early signing date. And not only affects college football programs, but affects folks like you as well. For someone who has followed recruiting for quite some time, you add this early recruiting signing period in. What does that mean?
I've thought a lot about it, Mark, and it could go a lot of different ways just in terms of, it's a food chain in college football, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term, where you have the blue bloods and then, you work your way down. And we see it every year. Iowa loses, maybe not every year, but Iowa loses players to maybe Michigan, or somebody else comes in with a late offer and Iowa loses that recruit. So then Iowa dips in and takes a kid that's maybe committed to UNI or North Dakota State or something like that, or one of the MAC schools, Western Illinois. So now these guys, and Kirk alluded to this the other day, how are these coaches going to play that? They have a guy on the back burner, whether you're at Ohio State or you're at Iowa or you're at UNI even. I mean, UNI took the kid from Muscatine this year away from South Dakota with a full offer later on in the process. SoCo. So how long do you keep these kids on the hook? Do you get involved with them earlier now? Kirk said this the other day. Do you get involved with guys that are maybe on your back burner a little bit earlier? And it's going to be harder on the prospects because they're going to have to determine, okay, it's November or it's October or November. When am I going to get an offer? Am I going to get an offer? Do I sign with another school in December? Do I sign with a UNI in December and maybe not get that Iowa offer? If I'm a kid that has a chance to, I'm committed to Iowa and Ohio State's poking around, do I wait? And then when the coaches say, okay, this kid's not willing to decide to sign with us in December, he's looking at Ohio State, what do we do? Do we stay with him until February? Or do we go out and get somebody else to replace him? I think it complicates it quite a bit, Mark. And I think the earlier, of all the rule changes I liked best, it was the earlier official visit times for kids to be able to come in the spring and early summer. I think that's a big key because kids like to commit a lot of times before August or during August before their senior year starts. And being able to take an official visit with your family in April, May, or June, I think is a big step in the recruiting process, and I think that could also change things and change the game for the schools and for the prospects.
Mm-hmm.
It's an annual thing. There's always in the spring scrimmage or game, no matter how you phrase it here, Rod, there's always that guy that wows them that everybody talks about leaving the stadium after tonight. Do you have an inkling who that might be for 2017?
That's a good question. I am going to, I'll say one of the running backs. I thought they looked pretty good in West Des Moines, and I don't know if that's a Don Nordman type that you're looking for, a guy that's really vague, who kind of makes a flash and we don't hear from a whole lot again. But I think these two young running backs are in a pretty heavy competition for this backup job to Akram Wadley, and I think they're competing very hard for it, and they're going to run hard tonight. And you know how much Iowa loves to run the football. I think they're going to want to test their interior of the defensive line at Iowa, which is another big question mark with an experienced offensive line. I think that there's a chance that Iowa could run the ball pretty well tonight against their defense. So I'm going to go with one of the running backs. And give me Torin Young. He's a LeSean Daniels type back. I think he complements Akram Wadley pretty well. I know Tokes played as a true freshman last year. But I think Young has made a heck of a lot of progress this spring and gotten good feedback on what he's been able to do. So I think he may be the guy that shines tonight.
Rob, as you know, the discrimination lawsuit brought by Jane Meyer against the University of Iowa is going on in Des Moines the first week here. Gary Bard on the stand today following Jane Meyer this morning. How significant is this case?
Big picture, I'm not sure, Mark. Even if Jane wins, I think there's going to be negativity. There's going to be egg on the face, if you will, of the University of Iowa, if it's seen as a school that their athletic director discriminates, based on sexual preference. If that's what the ruling is, that's the part I think that Iowa would be worried about. And they should be. If that's the case, if that's what this jury ruled, that, you know, that was the case and what happened with Jane, they should be concerned about that. But that's the type of thing that the national press will pick up on if that's something that happens. And I just think overall the airing of dirty laundry is never good for a school and an athletic department, and that's going to happen no matter what. But, again, big picture, I don't think this is something that costs Gary his job, and I could be totally off on that. But we'll see. Time will tell, and we'll see how it goes from this point forward and how the chips fall before we see what happens. But I don't get the sense that Gary's job is in jeopardy either way here, but maybe I'm reading this one wrong.
I tend to agree with you on that. I think it really comes down to whether it was discrimination or insubordination in the end.
Yeah, and it really is, Mark. It really is a he said, she said. It's a classic he said, she said. And it's going to matter, when they get through this testimony and cross-examination and everything, who the jury believes. And that's not going to be easy. I don't envy the jury for having to decide which way this one goes.
Mm-hmm. No, because each side has brought in terrific, had terrific things to say. Witnesses have been terrific for their side. So this is going to be interesting in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I agree. I think, it's a tough case to call, and that's probably why it went to trial, guys, and probably why it wasn't settled. I think both sides think or feel like they have a really strong case, and, they decided to roll the dice and take it to court and see what happens.
As we let you go, Rob, a crack at our poll question today. It goes like this. Will the Iowa spring football game scrimmage at night become a tradition? Yes or no?
Oof. I'm going to say no. And that's just because I don't think it's a great idea. Personally, I think it would be better served being played on Saturday. I think this is more for the Big Ten Network, and that's why they did it. I think it's harder for families that are out of town to get this far if you're in Sioux City or Council Bluffs or wherever, and you're wanting to drive over here. You got to pull your kids out of school early. I think it's harder to get recruits in here on a Friday night and from a distance unless you bring them out. They get out of school early. I think it would be better all around for the fan, for the viewing experience in person, for it to be on a Saturday. But I get why they're doing it. They're doing it for TV, and that's pretty much what everybody does, right, guys?
Exactly.
TV.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be the case. And I agree with you. I think this is just going to be it's not going to be an every year deal. And you got to look at the schedule as well and how things play out for Kirk Ferentz and his staff and how they want to play things. But this year just worked out to have it on a Friday night. So going to try it.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, too, because the baseball team plays at the same time. So it would have been nice if they would have staggered and maybe had baseball at 4.
That's what we said.
And then had the football to follow it, but now they're going head to head, and that's not they didn't really get a benefit from that either.
No, and baseball is not going to win that.
No, they won't. They will not.
They will not. Hey, appreciate the insight, Rob. Always good talking with you, and keep up the great work at Hawkeye Nation. We'll talk to you soon.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet. Rob Howe joining us here on the Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. We have an accident update, Mark.
Yeah, there was. We got information from one of our texters, our listeners, in regards to a crash near Coe College on Interstate 380 northbound. But just following up with that with the Iowa Department of a transportation, I-380 northbound roadway is now reopened to traffic. That's near the H Avenue and J Avenue exits in Cedar Rapids.
All right. So make some alternate plans if you happen to be...
It has been reopened, but it's probably not...
Not the best.
Yeah.
Not the best, but... There you go. We'll keep you updated on traffic right here on KGYM. We will take a break, come back, and have more for you on the Friday edition of the Gym Class coming up right after this.
Writing job descriptions, sifting through resumes, setting up interviews. Hiring's hard, but Indeed.com makes it easier. Post your job, manage candidates, schedule interviews, all on Indeed. And since independent research shows that Indeed delivers 5 times more hires than any other job site, easy works. Right now we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
This is the sound of everyday engine threats like gunk, wear, and corrosion, unleashing their wrath on your engine. Now, this is the sound of Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, providing the best total engine protection you can get. Period. Think all premium fuels are the same? Think again. Choose Shell V-Power Nitro Plus today.
Every deck is made for standing on, but there's only one that's always had a way of standing out. So if you're looking to bring more style, comfort, and creativity to your life outdoors, call on the brand that's known for making the most in outdoor living. From decking, railing, and lighting to furniture, fencing, and framing, at Trex, we're engineering what's next in outdoor living. To learn more about all of the outdoor solutions Trex has to offer, call 1-800-289-TREX or visit trex.com. That's T-R-E-X.com.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
Back with you at 3:46, Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. And we just got a couple of calls, as a matter of fact, as far as that accident you just talked about, Mark. Still a couple of lanes closed there. Looks like we were told a very nasty accident over there. So still slow going. And if you have plans at that, give that location again.
Yeah, I-380 northbound near the Coe College campus and near the H&J Avenue exits. Again, I-380 northbound.
All right, so maybe alternate plans if your trek around on this Friday afternoon is taking you in that
stop by Coe.
Direction.
It's a wonderful campus.
See the pictures of the new field house?
Yes.
Looks nice in there. Looks very nice, very spacious.
Yep, went by there the other day. The archway, the connecting EB Fieldhouse to the natatorium across the street. It's up.
Everything's looking good.
Didn't fall on me. It's interesting.
It won't do that. It won't do that. Hey, speaking of colleges and all kinds of construction, we're going to be next Wednesday for the inaugural 2017 Lunchbox Heroes. And I want to thank all the great sponsors, Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust, among them, as well as Built by Pros, Chick-fil-A, Lindale, Acme Tools, Mediacom, Dr. Pepper, Cedar Rapids Colonels, Star Equipment, Wild Hog Saloon in Walford, 7G Distributing, Red Wing Shoes, Air Gas, and thanks to all the great sponsors. We're going to be at the new Mount Mercy Athletic Complex over there by Mount Mercy University to say hi and to thank all the great workers over there for their terrific help. We're going to be providing some great food, drinks, and prizes for the workers coming up on Wednesday.
Anxious to get a look at the progress of the facility. We talked to Jack Dom last Friday while we were in Iowa City. Jack, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, and he's very excited about getting into the baseball stadium and in general for that whole project, as I know Paul Gavin and the rest of the folks over there at Mount Mercy. And of course, visiting with all the workers, that, as we do every week in the summer, between us and the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn, getting around to various construction sites in the quarter and saying thanks, feeding the workers, and just thanking them for what they do.
Yeah, and looking forward to that. And Jack, of course, will be utilizing that. Softball field looks like it's got a lot of it done. Maybe we can take a few swings or something like that out there.
Who's going to pitch?
Well, Ryder's gone. We'll find someone.
Maybe they got a tee out there. That'd be better.
perhaps that would be the case. Last night, Mark, and if you want to chime in, love to hear from you on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line at 319-366-1600. You can also reach us via the phone lines at 319-366-1600. Jeff Downing on the other side of the glass here tonight. They had the big unveiling, Mark, of the NFL schedules. Few things were leaked out prior to it. In fact, I think the Bears had their entire first month out there on Twitter and social media before things got started last night.
It's not pretty either. Not pretty.
Yeah, the Bears got a real tough start. Those quarterback, now the first four quarterbacks the Bears get to face this year?
Atlanta at Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh and at Green Bay.
Yeah. If they win one of those, are you happy?
Yes.
I would say so. They go 1-3 in the first four, I think you're happy. You came into my office today and said, how can you complain?
No, I said, how are you going to spin this?
I'm not going to spin it. I think the NFL did a really good job. Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and Dallas have the most primetime appearances.
With all respect, yes, people are clamoring to see more of the Chiefs in primetime, right?
Absolutely. Now, primetime is considered Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Thanksgiving Day, or the special Saturday games that the NFL has. Now, I'll spin it this way. The Chiefs have only one Sunday night appearance with Mr. Collinsworth. And they do have that opening Thursday night game, which is technically a Sunday night game. So they do have a Saturday, a couple of Mondays, and a Thursday night game. So I'm not complaining. Not complaining, unless they lose them all, and then they'll never be on television again for a long time, which could happen. Chiefs, Dallas, Pittsburgh, all with the most, six. You can have the most. Denver, Green Bay, Atlanta, the Detroit Lions. I was surprised by that a little bit. Oakland, Washington, and Philadelphia all had five. I was surprised a little. But, you know, it's always that way with the NFC East. They always get the most primetime appearances and did again this year. NFC East with 20 combined appearances, just one ahead of the AFC West with 19. And that was buoyed by the Oakland Raiders as they really jumped up this year to five primetime appearances. Sunday nights, Denver, Oakland, and Pittsburgh have the most with three of Sunday night appearances.
85-32 in regards to NFL schedules. The New York Giants have had good luck in Dallas, but starting there for the third year in a row seems to be a bit much.
And we talked about it yesterday. We see a lot of the same games on Sunday Night Football, and that was one of them, the Giants and Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's going to be in Dallas to open up the season, and I agree with the texter. That's a big disadvantage for the New York football Giants going in there.
You're going to play them on the road at some point in the year, right? Yeah.
But according to our texter, it was the third straight year
right.
that the Giants have had to go into Dallas and play that particular game. So,
all you need to know there is Dallas.
Dallas.
Yes.
Dallas is going to get a lot of those. The teams that kind of got the short end of the stick here, I thought Cajun Troy's New Orleans Saints kind of got the short end of the stick. They only have two appearances, and the Saints were 7-9 last year. Cleveland and Jacksonville. Now, this year, they are also throwing London in as a primetime game, if you will, quote-unquote primetime game. So Jacksonville and Cleveland only get a London game. They don't get a primetime game.
As it should be.
You said you're not waking up to see a Jacksonville-Cleveland game.
Not the first half.
So they will only be in London this year. Mentioned the Packers got five. And, you know, other than that, I think it was pretty representative of how things should be.
Bears fell down quite a bit, as they should after going 3-13.
Fell down the most.
Yeah.
Oakland went up the most. Bears fell down the most. Bears will always get probably three primetime appearances because it's Chicago. It's
one of three this year.
It's one of the biggest markets. They're on a Thursday, on a Monday night, and on a Saturday.
Back-to-back games Thursday night at Green Bay, and then Monday night. Well, after a week off, play Minnesota on Monday night, and then a game later in the year at Detroit. So that's about all I want to see him in prime time.
That's about it, huh? What if the
Bears? I could be surprised.
You could be very surprised. You could be very surprised. Minnesota gets 4 among the teams in the Midwest. Mentioned Detroit gets 5. The Bears get 3. Indianapolis gets 4 appearances. And what else we have here? Chiefs, 6, as we mentioned. The L.A. Chargers get 3 this year. So, like I said, I thought the NFL did a really good job. I thought it was a good schedule. Very representative teams that did well last year. You're still going to have your Sunday night games that you're always going to have. Yeah, Denver and the Patriots is on Sunday night football again. And like we said, the Giants and the Cowboys, and I think the Eagles and the Cowboys are also on Sunday night. The one team I thought was a little bit maybe too much was the Redskins with 5 at 8-7-1 last year. But again, that's a big television market in the NFC East.
Yeah, and that's a brand name for sure.
Yeah, whether you like it or not. And already people are complaining because the Redskins have the Thanksgiving night primetime game. And people are complaining that our anti-Washington football name playing on Thanksgiving.
And there's 3 games on Thanksgiving again, right? Yeah.
That is correct. Detroit hosts, Dallas hosts, and the Washington football team will host. I'll let you come in with your own thing here. All right. We'll take a break, come back, wrap things up after this.
Optimized lines of sight, check. Easy controls, check. Zero turn, engaged.
Gravely zero turn, pro turn 400. You are cleared for takeoff. Lower your deck and roll.
Roger that, tower.
Gravely zero turn mowers from City Tractor and North Liberty help you fly through mowing. Use less fuel and cover more ground in less time. And let's face it, have some fun too. Your mission starts at locally owned City Tractor, just off the I-380 North Liberty exit and at citytractor.com.
Where you are cleared to landscape.
Fixing your pavement can be more affordable than you think. Spring into action and stop dodging those cracks and potholes. Call Paint Asphalt. They can handle commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Paint Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Paint Asphalt. See them at paintasphalt.com.
The Gym Class in the Gym. KGYM. Eastern Iowa Sports Talk Radio.
Stay tuned. APC coming your way next right here on KGYM and in the gym. I want to remind you, we have partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. If your organization has a charity or event coming up, we want to help you get the word out. Submit your information to KGYMradio.com and click on Community MVP to get things started, Mark.
Last text on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, Ryan from Walford. I'm pumped that the Raiders are primetime in a lot of games. I've switched my allegiance from the Bears to Las Vegas.
Well, they're not technically Las Vegas yet. Might be sooner than later because they're having problems with the Coliseum, whatever it's being called these days. And I don't blame the Coliseum for saying, don't let the door hit you in the fanny on your way out. So... there you go. Are you mad that you've lost?
Ryan, when those Bears rebound, you're going to be sorry.
Yep. I was just going to say.
I like the Raiders, too. Well, it's a fun team.
True. Very true. Very true. APC coming your way next right here on KGYM. They are down at Coach's Corner. They are going to talk a lot about the Iowa spring scrimmage tonight. Don't forget, that's our Emil's Hideaway poll question at KGYMradio.com. Will the Iowa spring football game / scrimmage at night become a tradition? Yes or no? Go ahead and vote. And we heard from Rob Howe. He says no, it will not become a tradition. Not like the Nebraska-Iowa Black Friday game.
Well, right now, it's about 50-50. Folks saying, yes, it will become a tradition, and folks saying no.
I think more people will have a definite opinion after tonight's game. All right. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on the golf course.
Sounds good.
All right. You've been listening to the Gym Class right here, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Howdy, folks. KFC's Colonel Sanders here. You have someone in your life you want to get KFC's new $10 chicken share with? It could be a friend, more than a friend, or even a spouse. It's okay. Be brave. Go ahead and say, I want to get a $10 chicken share from KFC.